Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're going to continue our conversation with some professors and grad students from the School of Mines and Technology. And joining me now is Dr. Vinkart Garamshirdi. He is an assistant professor and researcher at the School of Mines. Dr. Garamshirdi, thank you very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
And joining you in the studio is your grad student, Namita Streshtal. Namita, thank you for being with us today.
Hi, thank you for having us. And it's glad we could share our experiences.
And you have some exciting news that you just presented. What was it, last week or the week before, about converting tomato waste into electricity? So let's start with a little primer about what that research is.
Okay, so United States, we produce a lot of tomatoes. Tomatoes are so delicious. You can all eat them. We use it for various purposes. So to give you some statistics, we produce nearly 15 billion kilograms of tomatoes every year, and we generate 10%, 10% of those tomatoes goes into waste because of several reasons. And similar thing happens even in the processing plants. You use the tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, to make your sauces, ketchups, and so on. And in that process, you generate a lot of tomato waste. So that's characterized with the peel, which is basically the skin, and the seeds. So we have been working in the field of microbial electrochemistry, and I was in the state of Florida, and one of my students was having discussion with me, and we wanted to try out and see if we could use these defective tomatoes to produce electricity. And the past 2 years of experiences have been fantastic, and we were able to find that the chemical energy in the tomatoes could be converted into electrons and subsequently into electrical current. And this would be possible only because of our good friends, bacteria, the tiny microbes, the tiny critters, which would love to use the defective tomatoes for its own survival, growth, and subsequently the electricity production. So that's a brief introduction.
Okay. Now, how does it really work?
That's a great question. Well, the concept is quite simple. So you have chemical energy in pretty much any chemical or any organic matter, and so is the case with fresh tomatoes or defective tomatoes. So these bacteria, they are very good at getting these electrons out. And of course, for their own selfish desire, they want to live, they want to grow, and so on. And we have found a way to tap the part of this electron transport cycle. And it's a win-win situation. So the microbes, they use the energy, and it happens because of the electron flow. And if we can kind of tap into that electron transport cycle and create our own electrical circuit, we should be able to, you know, use that electrical current. And it happens in a simple galvanic device. You have one or two different compartments, bacteria sit there, you have the solution. And to give you a very easy example, just imagine a Pepsi can sized reactor. And if you could put in one electrode, approximately equivalent to 1 meter square, and you have these defective tomatoes, and all of a sudden you have introduced the bacteria, and bacteria becomes your friend, and bacteria is so happy, it starts chewing the tomatoes, and in that process, it's going to get the electrons out, and you have this electricity.
Hmm. Happy bacteria. Okay, so, but this can all be done at room temperature, right? It really doesn't take a major investment of materials for this to happen. It just, this is a natural process, and you're just tapping into it.
You are asking us a very interesting question and a practical question. Yes, this process occurs at room temperature. So, for example, if you give me the defective tomatoes, and if I have this electrochemical device in my hand, it should operate right at my home, right in my kitchen. It operates at ambient conditions, and it doesn't require any special infrastructure to maintain high temperatures. And also, it requires minimal chemical ingredients. So that's an advantage of this galvanic device. Yeah.
So, you know, we hear a lot about alternative fuel sources, and I'm thinking of ethanol because I'm living in the corn area of South Dakota. But you think about taking this and making a fuel or a fuel additive, but this is, how did you get from taking this waste into electricity? How did you think of this?
All right, so that's a great question. And in fact, we scientists, we always go back to the literature. And there was one of the findings in 1900s where a scientist named Dr. Potter, he found that you could generate electrons out of frog's leg because of similar microbial electrochemistry. And since then, there was not a significant progress. And then past two decades, due to the advancement of the scientific tools we have, especially with respect to microbiology and materials, all of a sudden we found that, hey, this concept could be brought into the light again. And the answer, or simple answer to your question, is our research builds upon sound scientific hypothesis and the research concepts that exist in the literature. And also it builds upon our own research experience for the past 5 or 10 years, where we are trying to explore different segments of microbial electrochemistry. And simple answer to your question is, we have recently found that these microbes, they can survive under anaerobic conditions, meaning to say absence of oxygen. And we breathe oxygen, but now we are forcing the microbes to breathe against solid surfaces. So they spit out the electrons, and the electrons are transmitted into the electrodes, and that is how this thing works.
Hmm. Now, tomato waste, I mean, can this be... used with other waste? Can we just set stuff up at the garbage dump?
You have asked another good question. Yes. So, as I said, theoretically, any organic matter, you name it and you have it, food waste, tomato waste, kitchen waste, or vegetable waste, and so on, all of them, they have inherent organic matter. And they have the analogous electrons. However, from biotechnology point of view, it's always advantageous to have some kind of feedstock which has defined composition. For example, if I know that I'm going to generate same amount of waste every year and the composition is going to remain pretty much the same, that's going to be a great news. And that said, there's another reason why the tomatoes are going to be much more advantageous. We found that these tomatoes have some kind of electrically conductive mediators, and that's going to enhance the electricity production. But again, going back to your question, theoretically, you should be able to use any other organic matter or mixture of organic matter, but reality is it's going to work much better if you have a defined waste, such as tomato waste.
Okay, so in the documentation that I read, you said that there's enough tomato waste in Florida alone to provide all the electric needs for Disney World for 90 days.
Okay, so from excitement point of view, that's a great statement. And from science point of view, it is possible. It's theoretically possible, and we have science to prove that. You know, we ran our calculations, and that is true. But from practical perspective, there's a lot more research to be done. We'll have to optimize the materials. We'll have to optimize the microbiology. And we can put several of these galvanic devices in series and parallel configuration. And one day it should be possible, especially because of, you know, the young scientists like Namita Shrestha and several others in the world, if they can, or if we can innovate the field of microbiology and materials, yes, one day it should happen.
One day it should happen. So that was my next question. Where are we at in the process? So you've discovered this, but now what's next?
So then, so we scientists, we talk in terms of technology readiness level. We talk in terms of TRL-1 all the way until TRL-9. So we are at stages of TRL-3 and 4. So okay. We have demonstrated the proof of concept in the laboratory, and now we'll have to pump in more energy and more research to bring it to the next level, and that should translate into more advanced materials, advanced reactor configurations, and advanced operating principles.
Now, you presented this to your colleagues, and I'm wondering how it's being received.
That's a great question. So we have presented this talk recently at American Chemical Society meeting, and that meeting attracts nearly 25,000 people every year. And out of several talks, the ACS, American Chemical Society media press release, has identified this topic of their interest, and they have taken initiative to promote this talk. And that tells us that they are pretty much interested in the science behind that. And we personally gave this talk to some of our peers in the environmental group or civil and environmental engineering group. They were pretty excited about the science behind this project.
So this is a collaborative project and discovery. And I'm wondering now, what is your next focus?
So my next focus would be to solve some of the fundamental research questions. For example, this is electricity production. And when you talk about electricity production, you're talking about electric current. And in simple words, you want electron to be transported from one place to another place. So from bacteria all the way into the electrode, into the electrical wires, into your circuit, and so on. So we are running some fundamental studies to answer some deeper questions that would help transition this technology into the larger scale. And after that, it would be a great opportunity to gain additional funding and employ or have more of innovative research students working on the project to solve some of the practical scale-up problems. So that would be my direction.
And is this something then that other scientists can read your paper or who saw your presentation, then develop their own theory and can take this off and running without your input?
So that's a very good question. So we belong to scientific community, and we do the research, and most of the times we publish this research. And when we publish this research, we pretty much give out all the information, materials mm-hmm. and methods, how exactly could you replicate. So basically, enough information for other scientists to replicate the same experiment. But that said, due to our experience, we have much deeper insight into the microbiology and also at fundamental electron scale. So to replicate this experiment, theoretically, it should be possible, but it might be associated with some lag time, maybe several years, but yeah.
And I want to bring Namita in to this conversation and talk a little bit about your role as a grad student with this research.
Okay, so as Dr. Gautam Shetty already mentioned, this was when he was in Florida. He had already started this research. And then when he joined School of Mines, I was there working in this project with him. So some of the works were already done there, and all the remaining part of the work, like we had this concept, electricity can be generated from tomatoes. So we needed to do some more research work to prove that this is actually working. So some of the remaining tests that was yet to be done, so I helped him doing this, and finally we had some good results, and that's how I helped him to complete this project.
And as a PhD student, I'm wondering what is next for you?
So my field has always been like waste and wastewater, and this, as you see, tomato waste, generating electricity from tomato waste, this is a very novel and good idea. So using the same concept that I used for treating the tomato waste, now I'm trying to treat more of the waste. Like I did some work with the municipal wastewater, treating it using the same device that we have, the microbial electrochemical system. And now I'm thinking of doing more research related to treatment of wastewater, which would be the flow wastewater that is generated during the hydraulic fracturing operations. And the concept and everything would be same that I used for treating the tomato waste. So that's my direction further.
Okay, well, I want to thank you both for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Dr. Vinkart Gardam-Shirdi and Namin Streshtal joining us from our studios in Rapid City. And when we come back, we'll talk with Dr. K about converting atmospheric carbon dioxide into batteries. You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.